Take your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I want to read the next to the last verse in that chapter. It's the next to the last verse in the book of Ecclesiastes. And but while you're turning there, now if you trust me to quote, I'm going to read them actually from my notes, a couple of other verses or parts of verses in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." Proverbs 29:25 said, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." Then Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13 said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Fear God. You know, I believe if there's one universal emotion, you say, well, it's love. No, I think the one universal emotion that's common to everybody is fear. Yes, sir. We've all experienced at some time or another fear. Even that crowd that years ago, you know, put the stickers on their cars, "No fear, no fear." Or the redneck version, "Ain't scared," you know. Whichever one, you know, might have been. The truth of the matter is all of us, sometime or another, we've been afraid. We've had some fear. And I was thinking about that when I was preparing the message. And I got to thinking of a time that I can remember being fearful. And the time that really came to mind, not the only time, but it was... I brought to mind the fear that I had of going to see this family in Fort Myers, Florida. Their last name was Bandy. You said, well, what was wrong with him? Well, I wasn't afraid of Brother Bandy. I wasn't afraid of his wife. I wasn't afraid of his kids. What scared me going to their house was the walk from the car to the door of the house. You said, well, what was the big deal? You got out of the car and you were met by two big German police dogs. And they did not seem happy. They did not come with their tongue hanging out and their tail wagging. They came with the hair on the back of their neck up, growling. And in the back of my mind, I remembered my dad telling how the first time he went to their house, he got out of the car and the dogs came up. They were barking. He said, I just folded my arms in front of me. And he said, one of those dogs took my whole arm in his mouth right there. And he didn't bite down on it, but he had it there. And that's what went in my mind when I'd go to the Bandy's house. Being afraid of those cotton-picking dogs. Hey, fear is something that we deal with. But do you realize there's 62 verses in our Bible that says, fear not. Fear not. You said, wait a minute, preacher. We just read one that said, fear God. Amen. I know it. I know that. Fear can be irrational. On the other hand, it can be well-founded. Fear, if you let it, can ruin your life and paralyze you, keep you from doing anything. It can keep you from trying anything new or different. But on the other hand, fear can keep you safe. So I want to speak to you just a little bit tonight about be wise about fear, all right? Obviously, there are some instances where fear is a good thing. Fear is a good thing. The man who says, you know, he fears nothing or no one, hey, that guy needs some help, all right? Just really does. I think God put some fear in us to keep us from harm, all right? Fear of some things helps us to be careful around those things. Fear tells us to avoid harmful things. You said what? Like fire. Electricity. Now, Brother Todd, he's an electrician. I don't suppose he's afraid of it. I am. I get shaky around electricity. And I'm not going to just grab a hold of something. Now, I won't tell you about what I did in my younger days, all right? But because I was young and dumb. Fear is in us to help us respect some things, all right? It keeps us fear. I think it's a good thing if God puts a little bit of fear snakes in you, all right? I realize all snakes aren't deadly. All snakes are not poisonous and all that kind of thing. And I know that. But God put that fear in me, and I always find out what kind of snake it is after I kill it. And see what it is, you know. Well, that one probably wouldn't have hurt me. But on the other hand, it's amazing to me how many times people are killed by a dangerous beast because they don't know enough to be afraid. To be afraid. If you've ever been, for instance, if you've ever been to Yellowstone National Park, there are signs everywhere telling you to stay away from the wild animals. I mean, they over and over again, they tell you, stay away from them. And they make available a video. I enjoyed watching the video, to be honest with you, of a fellow that got too close to one of the bison up there. And that bison coming with a flip of his neck threw that guy up in the air. He did about two flips and landed on the ground. Now, he didn't get hurt much, people are killed. Why? Because they don't have enough good sense to fear those wild animals, all right? They don't do it. I have been to Yellowstone National Park five or six times, and never have I seen a bear. Never. Now, one of the last times we were up there, my wife saw a bear. You said, why didn't you see it? Because I was trying to find a parking place, and I let her out. By the time I let her out and got back, the bear was gone, all right? But it's interesting, if you ever get in that situation, we knew there was a bear around. We'd drive up, and there'd be a whole bunch of people, and there would be park rangers. The park rangers were there to keep the people from doing something stupid. All right? And you have to stand there and keep going. Why? People don't have enough sense to be afraid. Hey, that fear is in you for a reason. It's in you for a reason. All right? To keep you safe. For whatever it might be. You know, it's not good for you to go around and say, well, I'm not afraid of anything. Well, you ought to be. There's things can hurt you. All right? You ought to be afraid of them. So, hey, they're there. God puts that fear into you. Okay? Hey, the wise man knows this. Look back in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. I'm not going to try to go into all the things that you ought to be wise to be afraid of, but we don't have time to cover all of them tonight. But do have two. Ecclesiastes 8:12, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his day be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. Hey, you ought to have a fear of God. You ought to have a fear of God. Now, the best way I know how to explain this, to try to help you understand it, you know, I don't mean by that that you go through life shaking and jumping every time something happens. But I compare it to the fear that I had of my dad. Now, I don't know how many of you, but I had a fear of my dad. Okay? And I think many of you had a fear of your dad. It was a good thing, all right? It was a good thing. You said, what do you mean? Like I say, I didn't go through life shaking every time he was around, and every time he spoke, I didn't jump. It wasn't that kind of thing. But I had enough fear of him that to be concerned about what he said. I had enough concern, I had enough fear to listen to what he said and to pay attention. That was put into me as a kid. Hey, Dad has some abilities there, and he can do some things that if I don't pay attention to what he says, it could be a painful thing for me. I'll be honest with you, I kind of look at it the same way. The fear of God will help you to live obedient to him. Amen. The fear of God will help you to live obedient to him. Why? Because he chastens those he loves. That's what the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. If we bear not chastisement, we're not sons. But he chastens, all right? Now, chastening is one of those things. It's not joyous. It's not enjoyable. But it'll yield a benefit for us. But I want to tell you this. I still like to get it right the first time without the chastening. Don't you? Man, I'd prefer not to have the chastening. Y'all are sitting here, nobody's moving. You'd rather be beat. All right, good. You probably need the beating then, all right? I don't want that beating. I don't want that chastening. I just want to get it, okay, what'd you say? I want to fear God enough, I'm going to do what he says. Hey, some people say, well, man, I'm going to Sunday. I'm going out to the lake. I'm going to tell you something. I fear God enough, I wouldn't go to the lake on Sunday. I just wouldn't be there. I'm going to be in the house of God if I all possibly can. You say, well, why? Because I fear God. Fear God. You say, well, I've got away with it. Yeah. Kind of like I say, you know, so far. But you can presume on that, you know. We're to have that fear of God. We're to have that healthy respect for Him. That fear that He's able to chasten us and deal with us. We need to fear God. It is the duty of man. As we read in our text verse in Ecclesiastes 12:13, we're to fear Him, all right? We're to fear Him. But there's somebody else we need to be afraid of. Look in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 10, would you? There's somebody else we ought to have a fear for, all right? And it ought to be within us. And I find a lot of Christians that seem like really don't seem to fear Him. But in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, the Bible says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And can I say this to you? You and I ought to fear the devil. We ought to have a healthy fear of him. Our problem is, though, we tend to take him casually. We tend to take him somewhat carelessly. And we tend to think, no big deal. Nothing's going to happen. Hey, wait a minute, all right? He is a powerful and sinister being who operates throughout this world. He's got demons that operate under him, and they operate throughout the world. They're there. Can I just say this to you? You and I are no match for him. We're just not. You know, anybody says, just bring him on, not me. I mean, leave me alone, that's what I want to say. Stay away from me. I don't think for a minute that I am his equal. I don't think for a moment I can take him on. Look, he is a master manipulator. He is a master deceiver. He's a master destroyer. He's talented at what he does. He's good at it. You and I ought to fear him. We ought to fear him, all right? Fear what he can do. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved. He can't touch me. No, he can't touch you for eternity, but boy, he can make your life miserable. He can sure make it that way if you allow it to happen. Just don't ever get the idea, I can handle the devil. I tell you, I can't do it. You know, we go back and look in the Old Testament. We go into Genesis chapter 3, and we see how the serpent, that old serpent, the devil, came and tempted Eve. And we look at that, and we go, man, she shouldn't have given in. Could I remind you of this? Adam and Eve didn't have the Bible we have. They didn't have all the understanding of Satan the way we do from the Word of God. Can I say this to you? Even among folks that have the biblical understanding, Satan's still able to destroy them. Why? Because he's a master at what he does. You ought to fear him. You ought to fear him. Fear him enough to stay away. Stay away. Anything that reeks of Satan, Satanism, demonology, demon worship, stay away from it. Stay away from it, all right? Don't feel like, well, I just want to go check it out. No, stay away from it. Stay away from it. Fear. Four basic types of fear, all right? Four basic types of fear we deal with. One's what I would call intimidating fear. Intimidating fear. You said never have had that. You probably have. It's produced by peer pressure. Or our circle of friends and family. They put pressure on you, all right? It is that intimidating fear that keeps us quiet when we ought to speak up. When we ought to say something. It is that intimidating fear that causes us to go along, to get along, when what we ought to do is say, I ain't going. And we ought to have that kind of courage in us. But we have that intimidating fear. We're intimidated. Hey, it's our family. Or it's our friends. Remember that verse that I quoted to you and read for you? Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man. Fear of man bringeth a snare. That's an intimidating kind of fear. Intimidating kind of fear. We deal with that, all right? We deal with that. Hey, you said, well, not me. Yeah, we do. We deal with it. When the Lord speaks to you and said, hey, witness to that person, we go, And we begin to inside say, I don't know what to say. I haven't been to Bible college. I don't have the Bible memorized. We've got all these excuses. But what we really are is we're intimidated by that person because we think, what are they going to think? What are they going to do? I'll be honest with you. I'm not talking to you about something where I think I never have this problem. I've had it. Man, I remember years ago, I was a young guy and I'm out knocking on doors, talking to people. And I'll never forget going up. I was over in Melody Hills section of Fort Worth, right off I-35 there. Knocked on this door. This guy came to the door. He was a monster. And they opened the door and said, what do you want? Nothing. I'm at the wrong house. I can tell now I'm not where I'm supposed to be. You know? That's what I wanted to say, all right? He said, what'd you say? I'm not sure. I babbled out something, all right? But there was that fear. There was that fear that was in there, okay? It comes. It's that fear that holds us back from witnessing to people. It's that fear. It causes us not to speak up when we ought to speak up. Hey, the second fear is fear about the future. We worry about what might happen. That fear slows us down, makes us real hesitant to do what needs to be done. You know, we're worried about what's coming. I've got this quote, I read this, Charles Schulz. That's the guy that invented Charlie Brown, the cartoon. He made this statement. He said, don't worry about the world coming to an end today. It's already tomorrow in Australia. I think about it, that's true, all right? It is. But we worry about the future. We worry about what the future holds. Hey, listen, that's why so many people got scared during COVID. Man, all of a sudden, everybody, well, we got to do this, you got to do that. And the world, I mean, everybody's going to die, you know, and you just got, people worried about the future. What's going to happen in the future? Well, there is that fear that comes in, all right? The third kind of fear, basic type of fear, is fear over the consequences of our past actions and maybe the need for pardon. We worry about what we have done. We get fearful that we're going to be caught. We get fearful that we're going to be found out. That's what causes people to look guilty. To look guilty. Man, I've had we've been in a Christian school for 47 years. In those 47 years, I've dealt with a ton of kids that were guilty. And of different varying degrees of wrong, okay? But the interesting thing was how many times you could see it in them. They had that look that said, I did it! You know. But what it is that guilt that comes on you, okay? That guilt that gets in you. When you do something that you know is wrong to do. Hey, when you run the red light. How many of you done that? See a hand, honest, you've run a red light. Now, maybe not on, well, even on purpose, all right? You've run a red light. Yep, okay. What's the first thing you do? Did the police see me? We look. Why? We're guilty. We have that fear. We're going to be caught. We drive past the speed trap. Policemen running the radar. We don't drive past casually. We look in the rearview mirror. Is he pulling out? Why? We have that fear. Right? We have that fear. We worry, how much is this going to cost me, right? It's in us, all right? That need for a pardon. I know I need to be forgiven. I'm afraid I'm going to be found out for what I've done. Afraid of that. I remember as a kid doing some things, and man, for several weeks after it happened, every time my parent called my name, I thought, great, they found out. And it was just miserable. You know, it would have honestly been better if I'd have just stood in front of them and said, I'm going to tell you what I did, and you just beat the fire out of me, okay? It would have worked easier on me. But that fear works at us, all right? Four basic kinds of fear: the intimidating fear about the future, fear over the consequences of something we've done. The fourth one is fear from frightening or dangerous circumstances, things that happen, and it frightens you. Most of us have woke up in the middle of the night with our heart beating faster, and we had a dream. I told my wife this morning, I said, man, I had a nightmare last night. She said, what happened? I said, I dreamed I was washing dishes. Ah, nightmare. Hey, most of us, we've had those dreams, you know. I wouldn't ask how many of you dreamed you were falling. And, you know, you wake up, and your heart's going, boom, 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 boom. And you're worried. Why? That fear that's in there, all right? Hey, but sometimes we have that fear because of a dangerous circumstance. We find ourselves somewhere in a dangerous circumstance. I'll never forget visiting the bus route over in Diamond Hill. Visited the route there for years and years. And I went to this house, and we had driven by the Sunday before picking up some kids. And we drove by this house, and there was a whole bunch of kids there in the yard. I said, man, mark that house. Next Saturday, we're going to knock on that door. And so that next Saturday, I knocked on that door, and little kid came up to, it was just a screen door. The door was not shut, and just screen door was the only thing there. And a little kid came up to the door, and I bent over, and I said, hey, man, how you doing? And about that time, Duchess stuck her face right there. And Duchess was a Doberman Pinscher. And Duchess wasn't happy. Man, that the truth of the matter is, Duchess lunged for the door, and I heard this growl, and here I am. You can't move fast from this position, okay? Fortunately, the couch was sitting right there by the door, and this hand reached out and grabbed Duchess. But man, I'll tell you, by now my heart's beating 300 strokes a minute by then, and I'm thinking, this dog's going to get me. And so I visited their kids, started coming around the bus, and I started figuring out a way to make friends with Duchess. And Duchess loved to play fetch. You could throw a ball, man. She loved to go after the ball and everything. So that's great. And now I've had this practice for years. I learned it years ago visiting. If I get out of the car and I'm unsure of what may or may not be in the neighborhood, I'm whistling. Now, it's not because I'm nervous. It's because if there's a dog, I want to know it when I'm closer to the car than he is. And I can beat him to the car, all right? And so that one day I drove up to the house there where all the kids live. Man, there wasn't anybody in sight. The vehicles were gone. I thought, well, there could be somebody home. So I got out. I'm whistling, you know, and everything. Nothing, nobody, nothing happens. There's not anybody in sight. I finally walked to the door, knocked on the door. When I knocked on the door, I heard Dutch's bark. She wasn't in the house. She came around the side of the house. By the way, Duchess, I don't even need to say this. She's a lot faster than I was, okay? And she came around the house. She come up on the porch. The hair on her back is standing up. She's growling. And I'm saying, remember me? I'm your friend. Hi, Duchess. You know, and... You always hear people, well, the animals can sense if you're afraid. Well, she knew I was afraid when she came around inside the house, all right? And so she came up on the porch, and I'm sitting there going, think fast, son, or you're going to get dog bit. And I said, hey, where's your ball? Where's your ball, Duchess? Man, she perked up. She went out in the yard. She brings back a brick. I'm not kidding, a brick. And I stood up on the porch. And I did my best imitation of John Wayne throwing a hand grenade as far as you can throw it. Go get it, Duchess! She took off, and I did too, man. I made it to the car. Hey, it was a circumstance that brought fear. brought fear. You said, you're a big coward. Hey, you don't mind getting dog bit? Go for it. I don't want to get dog bit, all right? But we deal with those fears. Say, well, how do we deal with them? Can I say this to you? You don't need to live immobilized by fear of any kind. Now, I told you I have a fear of dogs. You know, big dogs that bark and growl. I have a healthy respect for them. But I don't go through life, I can't get out of the house. But there's some people that their fear just throttles them. It just hurts. It keeps them from doing what they ought to do. You say, well, how do I deal with my fear? Let me say this. Just a few thoughts will be done tonight. Go back to Proverbs chapter 22, all right? Proverbs chapter 22, if you're in your Bible. How do we deal with fear? Find chapter 22 and then find chapter 28 in Proverbs, okay? Proverbs chapter 22 and then Proverbs chapter 28. And in chapter 22, we're going to look at verse 13. Verse 13. The Bible says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. Now remember that. Proverbs 28, verse 1, just the first half of that verse. Proverbs 28, 1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. I want you to notice, both of these are afraid of that which doesn't exist. The wicked man is fleeing, nobody's chasing. Nobody's after him, but he's running. Why? He's got a fear that somebody is after him. That lazy man, the slothful man in chapter 22, he says, man, I'm not going out. There's a lion out there. He'll slay me. He said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. Don't generate your own fears. Sometimes it's our imagination that causes us to fear. Your kids. Most of us, you're raising children, there is a problem at bedtime. You know, they've seen something, they've heard something. They lay down, they hear something. And, man, what is that? And here they come. I'm afraid. There's a monster in the house. Now, there's no monster in the house. They're generated their own fear, okay? They've done it themselves. They've imagined it themselves. Sometimes our imagination causes us to fear. We're afraid of the dark. Oh, no, we're not afraid of the dark. We're afraid of what we might think might be in the dark. And that's what we're afraid of. I remember as a kid getting up in the house in Georgia in the middle of the night, and there was these shadows, and I thought, there's a dog in the house. I remember calling out to my dad or mom, there's a dog in here. And there wasn't any dog, it was me. I wasn't a dog, but I imagined there was a dog, all right? It's what comes out of our own mind. Hey, listen, that is probably the thing that gives so many people so much problem. We generate our own fears. We begin to fear because there might be something to be afraid of. You've been in that position, you think, well, yeah, I'm okay. No, we begin to imagine something could be there. We go to the doctor, and the doctor frowns, and we go, oh, my Lord, I've got cancer. You know, hey, I'll never forget hearing Dr. Curtis Hudson speak, and he was speaking on soul winning, and he said, he said, we had a doctor in our church, and I tried to teach him how he could win somebody to the Lord. And so the doctor decides this week, all right, my first patient, I'm going to witness to him. So he examines his patient, and while he's got his back turned to him, he says, listen, I just want to know, if you died, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And the guy said, Doc, don't tell me that. What is it? He thought it was really bad, all right? We generate those kind of fears. Don't do that. Don't manufacture something to be afraid of just so you can be afraid. Don't let that happen to you. Proverbs chapter 14, there's another thing you can do to help you deal with your fear, all right? Another thing you can do to help you deal with your fear. Proverbs 14, 16, the Bible says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. So what are you saying? I'm saying you can avoid the circumstances that can bring about fear. Avoid those circumstances. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, sin creates fear. Sin creates fear. You get out and you disobey God, you have that fear of what's going to happen, what's going to take place. If it's sin that involves maybe breaking the law of the land, and you have that fear, will I get caught, okay? Hey, the truth is, you've put in the circumstances into play that's bringing the fear upon you. Avoid those circumstances, all right? If it's anything to do with sin, just stay away from it, all right? Don't get the idea I can play around this, I can flirt with this temptation, and I'll come out all right. No, no, no. The sinner lives in fear that he's going to be caught. He lives in fear somebody saw me. He lives in fear I'll have to pay for what I did. It's going to come to light. I know it will. Hey, we're afraid of that. Because of that, oftentimes people are jumpy. They're nervous. They're miserable in life. Why? Because they didn't avoid the circumstances that bring fear on you, okay? They bring fear on you. Look, if I was afraid of heights, I wouldn't hang out in high places, okay? Why do that? Why bring on something that'll cause you to do that? If you can deal with it, deal with it. I had a fear of flying. I decided it was a foolish thing to have, and I decided I'm going to conquer this. And the way I conquered it, I said, I'm going to get my pilot's license, and I'm going to fly an airplane. And I did, and I conquered that. I'm not afraid of flying. I'm still afraid of falling. I'm not afraid of flying, okay? Not at all, okay? Hey, so there's things you can do. Don't generate your own fears. Avoid the circumstances that can bring fear. But then take some preemptive measures, all right? What's the word nowadays? We talk about being proactive. Being proactive. You say, what do you mean? Proverbs chapter 1, all right? Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1, verse 33. The Bible says here, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Hey, submit to the Lord. Hearken to him. So what do you mean? I mean simple. Do what he says. Just do what he says. Just set out, I'm going to submit to him. I'm going to hearken to him. The Bible said you can dwell safely. You can dwell safely. When I see a police officer, I don't automatically start going looking shifty. Because I don't have any guilt. All right? Don't have any guilt that's come along. Now, when I'm driving, I see one, I have a reaction. My foot immediately leaves the accelerator, no matter how fast I'm driving, okay? But that's just reaction, all right? But, hey, don't go through fear, all right? So, submit to him. Submit to him. Then go to Psalm 56, would you? Psalm 56. Psalm 56, if you will. There's something else you can do, all right? There's something else you can do. This is one of the great verses in the Bible to me. The Bible says, what time, in Psalm 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Hey, learn to trust God. Learn to trust God. I mean, a confident, abiding trust in him. I don't know if you were like me or not. I have no idea. My dad was 5'8". He was a little guy. But, you know, I always figured if I'm with him, I'm going to be safe. As a kid, I figured dad could whip anybody. And I figured if I'm with him, it's going to be safe. Going to be safe. I trusted him. He said, I thought you said you feared him. I did, but I trusted him. I fear God, but I trust Him. And when you get to a situation where there is a circumstance, when there is something going on that makes you fearful, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Put your trust in Him. And literally, I mean it. Say, Lord, I'm trusting in You to take care of this. Nobody else can handle it. I'm just going to trust You to deal with it. There's nothing I can do to change it. Just going to trust You. We talk about childlike faith. That's exactly the kind of faith we ought to have in God. Lord, I trust You. I trust You. Then go back to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verse 1. 46, verse 1. The Bible said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. He said, we're not going to fear even if that happens. Then go back to chapter 27 in Psalms, would you? The 27th Psalm, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You say, what are you talking about? I'm saying this to you. Keep your relationship with God right. Keep that right relationship with Him. You read these verses here. These are not the testimony. It's not the testimony of a man facing an emergency. That's not what's going on there in those verses. Now, maybe in Psalm 46, you know, what time I'm afraid, I am facing an emergency. Yeah, but in these verses here that we've just read, excuse me, in Psalm 56, but in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried. He's saying, hey, here's somebody who's got a relationship with God. A close, tight relationship with Him. Here's a man that's abiding in his God. Here's a man that's saying, hey, my relationship is such with Him, don't need to be afraid. Don't need to be afraid. Because I know He's got it. He's in control of this thing. Superbly in control. Knowing that, what a comfort. Then lastly, would you go way over in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll wind up right here tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look down there in verse 7, would you? 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 7, don't forget this verse. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hey, God didn't give you a spirit of fear. If you're constantly fearful, that did not come from God. That didn't come from God. God gives you some healthy fear, so it'll help you to save yourself some trouble, some pain, some suffering. He makes us afraid. He ought to be. He puts that in you. That's fine. But wait a minute. To spend your life constantly in fear, that's not what God wants. God said to us instead, submit to Me. Hearken unto Me. Put your trust in Me. Keep your relationship right with Me. You do that, you don't have to fear. You don't have to fear. You don't have to fear what man will do to you. We read of what happened to some of the folks in the Bible, and we read of what they experienced, and we go, man, that must have been scary. But so many times we read it, and we look and figure, those guys don't seem to be afraid. Why? They had their confidence, their trust was in God. They knew they were in the right relationship with Him. They had submitted to Him, and it was, Lord, we're in Your hands. We're in Your hands. You didn't give us that spirit of fear. We're not going to be fearful. Don't do it. Don't let fear zap you. I have talked to people in times past that were afraid to go out of the house and never went out of their house. What a terrible way to live your life. Just an unreasonable fear. God doesn't want you to have that, all right? Don't be afraid of man. Don't be afraid to do what God wants you to do. Don't be afraid to do it. Step out. You know, it's amazing how brazen and brave we are in the world doing, I think about teenagers especially, doing stupid stuff. I mean, you know, just have no fear. But then you challenge them to do something for God. Oh, no, man, I'm afraid. Listen, don't let that happen to you, all right? Don't let the fear of man keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've given us. Thank you for all the blessings that you've sent our way, your goodness to us. And Lord, we come, we realize that there are some we need to fear. We ought to fear you. We need to fear Satan. Lord, you put some fears within us to protect us. But Lord, you didn't put us here to constantly be afraid and to live in fear. Lord, help us.